good to see you all here on this rainy day. The last time we had precipitation expanded snow, so it's good for it to just be raining today. If you are a guest in out of town, welcome. It's good to see you here. If you are someone who is here week in and week out, it's good to see your faces back here as we worship together. So would you join me in this call to worship? We gather in this sacred space.
Let us pray. Almighty God, our Father, you have brought us safely to a new day. We pray that you would watch over and guide us as we worship you and receive from us our humble adoration and praise. Thank you, Father, for the day, for the life you've given us, for the promise of hope that dwells within us, and for the future that you've planned for us. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Join me as we affirm our faith together. We believe in God, infinite in wisdom, power, and love, whose mercy is over all God's works, and whose will is ever directed to the good of all people. We believe in Jesus Christ, the gift of God's unfailing grace, the ground of our hope, and the promise of our deliverance from sin and death. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the divine presence in our lives, through which we constantly know the truth of Christ and find strength and help in time of need. We believe that this faith should express itself in the service of love, as shown through the example of our Lord, to the end that the kingdom of God may come upon the earth.
All the people in the church who's happy to see you today, I'm the happiest. Because the last time I did children's time, all of y'all were sick and out of town, and I had to talk to those people. And it was kind of funny. In just a little bit, Dr. Tom is going to read one of the most popular and one of the favorite parts of the entire Bible, and it's often called the love chapter, and it's about love, not just God's love, but how we are supposed to love other people. Now, I know you know how to do this. I know that in sign language, you know how to say, I love you. Don't you? Let's do it. Okay. I love you. And they're sitting out there and they're not practicing. So everybody, all right, I love you. And I'm not doing it quite right. I have a trainer up here, just like this. And sometimes people who don't speak, they just do I this way. With my job, I see tens of thousands of people every year. In fact, this week we found out how many thousands we saw at the museum where I work. And I didn't see all 82,000 of them. Sometimes I felt like I did, and sometimes I feel like I did in one day, all the 82,000 people. But I saw a good part of them. Now, do you think I loved all those people? Everybody is supposed to love each other, right? And I'm only with them for about 45 minutes. And I'm not going to go walking up to a group of people and go, I love all of you, because that's not my job, right? But for those of us who love God and know God loves us, in our hearts, we're to always love each other equally. Has anybody said, I love you today to you? To your mom. Really a lot last night to your mommy, and she said, I love you a lot to you. You just said a lot of love. That's all right. Good for you. Sometimes we see people it's not really easy to love. And in this verse in scripture, it says, love is always kind. And when somebody says something that's kind of mean to us, it's really hard to remember, oh, love is always kind. This is the one I have the trouble with. Love is always patient. Because sometimes I lose my patience. You lose your patience sometimes, get aggravated. Exactly. You didn't learn that from a teacher. I bet you learned that from your mom and dad, right? As a 3-year-old, you're way ahead of me. Your 3-year-old at your house taught you how to be patient. Yeah, I fully understand that. Excellent. We all have people that teach us different things in our lives. And God loved us even before we were born. Your mommy and daddy loved you before you were born. And I know they loved Story before Story was born. And in my phone, I've got some pictures. And you've probably seen them because I've shown them to you. And I won't show them to you during church, I promise. And there's one picture, and it's his tiny little leg that long. And it's got 5 teeny tiny little toes, because I keep every morning, I count them, making sure that there are 5 little toes. And I don't know the little girl that foot belongs to or that leg belongs to. I've never met her. And I'm not going to meet her until she is born sometime late April. And that little foot and those 5 little toes belong to my granddaughter. Now, do you think I love her already?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you've heard so much about her till I know you know I do. But I do love her already. And Mr. Lewis loves her already. And her mommy and daddy really, really love her. Just like God loves all of us. And sometimes when we're not feeling like we love people, or perhaps we're feeling like maybe there are people who don't love us, sometimes we just need to stop, think about that scripture in Corinthians, say a little prayer, and just say, God, this is in your hands because I'm having to really work hard on loving the way that you taught us. Would you like to say a prayer with me? Dear God, regardless of who we see today or this week, regardless of the people that we have met, may we always show to all that we meet that inside our hearts we are capable of loving even those whom it's hard to love. Amen.
The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your brethren. Him you shall heed, just as you desired of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly, when you said, "Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, or see this great fire anymore, lest I die." And the Lord said to me, "They have rightly said all that they have spoken. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brethren. And I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I commanded him. And whosoever will not give heed to my words, which he shall speak in my name, I myself will require it of him. But the prophet who presumes to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or who speaks in the name of other gods, that same prophet shall die."
The second lesson comes from the book of Psalms, Psalm 111. Praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart in the company of the upright in the congregation. Great are the works of the Lord, studied by all who delight in them. Full of honor and majesty is his work, and his righteousness endures forever. He has gained renown by his wonderful deeds. The Lord is gracious and merciful. He provides food for those who fear him. He is ever mindful of his covenant. He has shown his people the power of his works in giving them the heritage of the nations. The works of his hands are faithful and just. All his precepts are trustworthy. They are established forever and ever to be performed with faithfulness and uprightness. He sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have a good understanding. His praise endures forever. Here ends the second lesson.
Thank you, choir. I have a great deal of admiration and respect for people who can play handbells and not throw the bells across the table. One of the choir directors that worked with me once asked me to play handbells, and I told him no, that was not something that I was particularly good at. I couldn't count and read and ring all at the same time. And so he gave me one bell, with one note, and all I had to do was play that one note. And I played it, but I played it a lot more often than I was supposed to, so I'm not sure that it worked out all that well. So that was enough. He never asked me again, and I was so very grateful. 1 Corinthians 13, the whole chapter, all 13 verses. If you have your scriptures with you or can read a pew Bible, pull that out and read along with me. I'm using the New International Version, and that's typically what I use on Sunday mornings. So if you have the King James or a more modern translation, even than the NIV, please don't hesitate to bring your Bibles with you and follow along as you hear the scriptures read. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I'm nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. It is not rude, it is not self-seeking, it's not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For now we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part. Then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. This is the written word of the Lord. If you took an opinion poll of most pastors and asked them what words of the Apostle Paul were the most memorable in the minds of their congregations, I would suspect that a good many of them would come up with 1 Corinthians as the most popular chapter, but perhaps verse 17 as the most popular verse. The verse that says, "Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things." Over the centuries, that verse has been recited thousands of different times on thousands of different occasions, printed in millions of places, cut in tons of stone, and sewn in hundreds and hundreds of pieces of counted cross stitch. Without doubt, it is memorable, but there's a big difference between being memorable and being meaningful. The first century language of Paul does not translate all that easily always into the 21st century language that you and I use. So the words themselves may need no introduction, but they do need some explanation. For example, what is the difference between bearing all things and enduring all things? When Paul writes, "Love believes all things," does that mean we should accept without questions the words of, say, the president of Iraq when he says his country is producing enriched uranium solely for the purpose of domestic use? But when Paul writes, "Love hopes all things," does he mean we cling to the dreams and desires that we have even when the white-hot reality sets in and we lose everything? While we know the words, we may not fully capture Paul's meaning. Many of you have heard stories about people who went to garage sales and found a painting that they liked, and when the painting was all cleaned up, they found that they were in possession of the painting of a Dutch master. Well, that has happened, but it doesn't happen all that often. What I do like to do this morning is sort of clean the page, like cleaning an old painting, and let's see what these words can tell us for today. First, love bears all things. The meaning seems simple enough on the surface. With love, we can face any battle, survive any struggle, find good in the worst situation, discover peace in the midst of conflict. But let's look beneath the phrase. Here we find Paul speaking a word not only about how we confront the difficulties of our lives ourselves, but also how we react to and respond to the difficulties of others. Have you ever found yourself in a situation where you were so consumed with anger and resentment towards someone else that you would say, "I just can't bear being around that person any longer. I just can't bear it"? I've heard that. That's a different thing than what we bear or shoulder, the onus of responsibility. This is more about putting up with someone else. Love bears all things. Love shares all things. Love links together all of our lives in an endless chain of Christian compassion, so much so that we really do become the family of faith. I think that's what God wants us to be. We should be bound by love to lay aside our individual differences and recognize our common devotion. Love bears all things. There's an old Jewish folktale that illustrates this. It's about Abraham and Sarah. As the story goes, Abraham and Sarah always opened up their tent to travelers who needed a good meal and a place to sleep. On one occasion, a man of advanced age approached the tent looking for shelter and something to eat, and well, they were invited in. Abraham and Sarah enjoyed doing that. But after a short time, they realized that this man was the most cantankerous, argumentative, unsavory human being they ever met. Abraham and Sarah disagreed with him about morals and ethics and even religion. Finally, Abraham said to the man, "I don't want to have anything more to do with you. Get out of my tent. I can't bear your presence any longer. And you've wasted enough of my hospitality already." Before that difficult man was out of sight, Abraham heard the voice of God calling his name. "Speak, Lord, your servant hears you," Abraham said. And God speaks. "For 80 years I have protected and cared for the old man you just threw out of your tent. I have continued to claim him even though he did not claim me. I have waited patiently, for he too is one of my children. Oh, Abraham, if I could bear with him all this time, could you not bear with him for an hour?" Love bears all people. Love cares for all people. Because all people are of God. There's not one who is not a member of his flock. Next, love believes all things. Now, what exactly does that mean? Well, first, let me tell you what it doesn't mean. It does not mean that we live a life of love, and when we do, we suddenly become gullible and ready to swallow any old thing that comes floating by. Because we live in a realistic world where, unfortunately, not everything is believable, and not everyone can be trusted. That's why we lock our doors at night. That's why we read the fine print in a contract. That's why we tell our children and grandchildren not to accept rides with strangers. So, what does Paul actually mean when he says love believes all things? The clue comes from that familiar verse in Romans 8:28, where, depending on the translation, it either says, I know that in all things God works together for good, or God works all things together for good. The things are the objects and opportunities that God uses to accomplish his work in the world. The focus is on faith, assurance, trust, faith in the Word of God, assurance that comes from the dependability of God, and trust in the power of God. Love believes all things. It never stops having faith in the things of God. Some years ago, there was a comic strip in the newspaper that illustrated the idea. In the first box, we see a little boy putting up a swing. He ties first one end of the rope to the sapling, and then he ties the other end to the sapling. But unfortunately, the tree is not much bigger than the boy. So when he gets through, the swing is dragging the ground. In the second picture, the boy has a look of deep concentration on his face, trying to figure out what he needed to do. And then in the third frame, we see a picture of the little boy watering the tree. That's a picture of faith. Faith in the things of God, in his creativity, his power, his ability to make things right, his word, especially when it says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And then love hopes all things. You can put it another way. In all things, love is able to find some hope. There is no night so long that it doesn't turn into morning. There's no storm so fierce that the sun does not eventually break through. There is no road so distant that it does not finally end. You remember when your children or grandchildren were relatively small and we played peekaboo? We've all done it. You put your hands up to hide your face and then peek around them, and the reaction is usually just a laugh. The kids who don't have object permanence yet think that you really have disappeared, and they're so surprised and delighted when you reappear. Well, after a while, they recognize that you're behind there, and they begin pulling your fingers apart, pulling your hands apart, so that they can see you full face. They know you're back there somewhere. You haven't disappeared. How soon we forget that lesson. When we're confronted with serious obstacles in our lives, how often we adults throw our hands over our face and freeze. We just stand there. We don't look anymore. But the baby is looking all over the place. Love hopes all things. It never stops looking. Where there are obstacles, love finds opportunities. Love looks for the light at the end of the tunnel. Love hopes all things. The school system in a large city had a program to help children keep up with their schoolwork while they were recuperating in the hospital. On one particular day, a teacher assigned to that program received a routine call asking her to visit with a particular child. She took the child's name and room number and talked briefly with the child's regular class teacher. She said, "We're studying nouns and adverbs in class now," the regular teacher said. "And I would be grateful if you would help him to understand these parts of speech so he doesn't fall too far behind." The hospital program teacher went to see the boy that afternoon. No one had mentioned to her that the boy had been badly burned and was in great pain. Upset at the sight of the boy, she stammered as she told him, "I've been sent by your school to help you with nouns and adverbs." When she left, she felt like she hadn't accomplished a great deal. But the next day, a nurse asked her, "What did you do to that boy?" Well, the teacher figured she must have done something wrong, so she stammered an answer. I don't know. I apologize. I'm sorry. And then the nurse said, No. You don't know what I mean. We've been worried about that little boy. But ever since yesterday, his whole attitude has changed. He's fighting back. He's responding to treatment. It is as though he has decided to live. 2 weeks later, the little boy explained that he had given up all hope until that teacher arrived. Everything changed when he came to the simple realization. He expressed it this way: they wouldn't send a teacher to work on nouns and adverbs with a dying boy, would they? And so he was encouraged, and he lived. Finally, love endures all things. That word that Paul chose, endure, has an interesting meaning in Greek. It's an architectural term that means literally to put a roof over a house. To endure meant to cover, and thereby to provide shelter and security for those that dwelt underneath. So Paul was really saying, love covers all things. Love embraces all things. Love surrounds all things. There's nowhere we can go where the love of God is not able to find us and to free us. And no matter how severe our shortcomings, or how often we miss the mark, no matter how often we fail, or how often we are disappointed or discouraged, the love of God is able to comfort us and carry us and make all things right again. Because God's love covers us and protects us, we ought to see that our love too should do the same. It should be an inspiration for us in all of our relationships with each other. In the final analysis, what this text tells us is that the unlimited nature of God's love for his people should be an example to us of our relationship with each other. You see, we must continue to care for each other because God first cared for us. We must continue to serve each other because God first served us. And we must continue to love one another because God first loved us. And as both a church and community, as both a fellowship and a family, what must keep us together is what brought us together in the first place: the love of God. For that which is fully an expression of the love of God bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. It has no limits and knows no bounds. It never, ever ends. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word that reminds us and inspires us of your limitless love and everlasting goodness. We don't always see it. We don't always understand it. But your word tells us that we can depend on it. And in that, we give you thanksgiving with our lives, with our mouths, with our minds and spirit and souls. In Christ's name, amen.
quote psalmist writes, "Know this, the Lord himself is God. He himself has made us, and we are his. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture." Let us pray.
Almighty God and everlasting Father, we owe our allegiance to you and only to you, for you knew us even before we were born and have sustained and nurtured us from the beginning of our time. We praise you, we exalt you, we revere you, and we give you our adoration and praise. As we experience your presence, sense your Holy Spirit bearing down on us, and are mindful of our infirmities and helplessness against the powers of darkness and temptation. Like the Apostle Paul, we so often do what we don't want to do and fail to do that which we should. In quiet reflection and confession, we seek your forgiveness. Make us holy even as you are holy. Saints in the labor to which you have called us. In your mercy, hear our prayer. Among us, Lord, there are many whose families have been visited by serious illness and loss. Yet we know that the spark of life extinguished here has been rekindled in your glorious presence, and the glow of life renewed shines because of your unquenchable love. We who continue in our earthly journey, thank you for your providence, your presence, and your peace. O Lord, heal our people. Heal our land. Lead us in the way everlasting and grant us vision, creativity, wisdom, and determination to follow your call as children of faith, faithful to the gospel call, a call illustrated in the prayer Jesus taught us, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done.
To love here, the people, the music, fellowship, food, the way that God's Spirit moves in this place. God has given us the privilege to support the ministries of this place with our financial gifts. It is a privilege that we bear together. And as we heard today, love bears all things, even the ongoing ministries of a community that we love. So today, may we give in love, knowing that our gifts help continue ministries that show the love of God to our community and to our world. Let's all pray together. Eternal God, we are reminded that no amount of noise we can make, no profound wisdom or vision we can share, and no amount of money we can give means anything in your sight unless it comes forth in love. Any offering that comes out of self-promotion, arrogance, or unkindness not rooted in love is just a wasted effort. And so we pray that you would receive these gifts we give this morning as ones that come from our hearts. Lord, hearts full of faith, hearts full of hope, and hearts full of love for you and for those around us. Amen.
An invitation to Christian discipleship. for most of us, simply is a reminder that we live a life within the fellowship of God the Father, the Holy Spirit, and each other. But it extends beyond that. Can you hear me? The bat is shot. I've looked and it's gone. So I'll try to make my voice heard to the back of the room. The other thing that we need to know, and especially for people who are visiting with us and who would like to join this church, is you can join in several different ways. One is by a profession of faith, declaring your belief in Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. The other is to transfer your membership from another congregation of life, like faith and order, or by promise of your letter from another congregation where you have membership. Remember, at the close of the service, we open the doors of the church to all of you, to areas of leadership and service that you would like to join, and certainly to those of you who would like to become a part of this fellowship, a fellowship that has endured for 2 centuries and will endure for many, many more years. Let us pray together. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the time that we can gather to gain from each other encouragement and strength, to rekindle friendships with those we haven't seen for a time, and to be in your presence, stimulated by the presence of your Spirit. As we sing this closing song, O Lord, help us to make up our minds to be dutiful about our work for you in this world and in this place. In Christ's name. who is brought again from the dead, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.